It's been a great awareness of the ministry that God has given each one of us, and we're thankful for that. How God is so empowering the body of Christ in this hour to move ahead into to realms that have not been seen before. And the accumulation of where we're at this morning has taken many years to get here, not only from a general perspective, but also a specific perspective of who we are. And a lot of who we are is, and this sounds kind of strange to say it, but a lot of who we are is who Sue and I are. Because this all began with a vision that started 44 years ago that came in Lubbock, Texas, that one day that I would be pastoring a church in the South, which, you know, I like to joke, we thought that was South Lubbock. You know, it's like when you were in Muleshoe, your boundary was Muleshoe, then you go to Lubbock, and then Lubbock becomes the earth, and then finally you find the earth is a little bigger, so we wound here in Austin in 1984, and with a lot of things happening, but basically behind everything that's happened, there's been that one reoccurring vision that one day I would pastor a church in the South, that out would flow many apostles and prophets all over the earth. It would have great impact. And there's been many times, many days, many weeks, many months, many years where that seemed like a foolish assumption, because everything but that seemed to be happening. And yet that vision kept the hope alive. And many prophecies have come over the years. And one of the prophecies that was so profound was that one day God would raise up mighty men and women that would stand with us, that would not only uphold our hands, but would catch the same vision that we had. It's oftentimes difficult to be a vision bearer, carry the standard of a vision, when others are reluctant to see it for whatever reason, because it becomes discouraging, to say the least. So it takes a great vision to endure through the times of testing. How many understand what I'm saying? And this applies on all of our lives. And so to make this as brief as possible, I don't want to go into too much tonight, but to say this, we're at the right place at the right time. And this year is really a marking point of transition. But as we go into this fall, we're going primarily with the perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy. That's going to be the foundation of what we're looking at. But this fall is really all about becoming. And that's what we want to talk a little bit to you today, just for a few minutes. We want to just kind of unpackage a little bit about oneness. And we've talked a lot about oneness, and many of you have heard messages about it here. But being human beings, we tend to hear a message, and unless we go back and repeat it a few times, we tend to not retain much of what we've heard, let alone walk in it. And there's a frustration in that, isn't there? That we hear a word, and it sounds great. It tickles our ears a little bit. We get excited, but a week or two later, we could ask ourselves about it, and none of us would remember it. You know, In fact, I even have to go back and listen to my own messages several times in order to get those ingrained in me. And when Bill preaches or anyone else, I listen to those again, because I want to rehearse the word, because I value and treasure the word that God is speaking. I don't think anything God is speaking here right now is some rehashed old stuff that we pulled out of a library and say, well, I'll try that one this week and see if it works again. I was amazed the other day. I've got reams and reams of notes for 44 years in the ministry. And I realize that for the last 12 months, I haven't referred very little to anything that I ever used to do. Everything that's coming now is fresh. Yes, amen. Yes. And it's a revelation from the Lord, because there's a process of birthing that takes place in the Word of God. And I go through that every time that I minister. I go through, it's almost like a mini death you go through, where you labor to get to the place of release. And oftentimes after what comes forth out of me, I'm probably my biggest critic. I walk away thinking, man, I laid a big egg on this one. But then I listen to it again, and granted, I would acknowledge much of what I say is a big egg, but there's a vein in there that God is speaking. And I think God does that to us. I don't know if any of us could stand to listen to anyone speak for 30 or 40 minutes or an hour and it be a pure revelation from heaven without it killing us right where we stand. So I thank God in any message, God intersperses enough of himself that gives us what we could get to so we could even handle it. You know what I'm saying? But there will come a day that we're going to hear directly from heaven, because the Bible says we're going to be oracles of God. So we're going to speak as God speaks. And so we're being conditioned to hear that way even more and more. So we've spoken a lot about this perfection of unity. In fact, we're going to read a scripture in John 17, verse 21 through 23. And of course, we love the 17th chapter of John, because of what it speaks to us. I believe it's one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. That they may all be one. Let that sink in just a minute. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me. And I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that you have loved me. So that's an incredible scripture, because it denotes a unity that brings a revealing of a nature. The union that God had with his son was the most intimate relationship that's ever been in creation. How many agree with that? But the union then that God has for us to have with the son and with the father is that same level of intimacy. And this is where the challenge comes. Christianity that we've known in the Reformation, the part of the Reformation is that we're still being reformed from this mentality of separation to be reformed into an intimacy of relationship. Because religion, in what it creates many times, is more schism or division than it creates unity and purpose. And so, guys, this is what I'm seeing. Kind of kick it off this morning, because this is inexhaustible, so we got to be careful. But this is what I'm seeing, the season we're in.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this John 17 thing, because it's kind of like a tongue twister. I don't know. I'm not that great at memorizing scripture, you know, and forget the address. It just won't stick here. But every time I try to memorize this, it's like a tongue twister. I get all tangled up. And then one day it occurred to me, there's reason, because this is so intertwined and intermingled, you know, as an expression of unity and oneness. There's just a oneness thing. So it's like you've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have this level of intimacy. And then suddenly there's a doorway, an access point for us into that level of intimacy. And we're going to be talking a little about what is it, what is this access point? What is this door? What does this look like? What does it require to be in that position to go through that door? But it's a point where we don't see this level of intimacy between casual people. Now, I see you guys like once a week. I see you guys more than I see like my best friends, so to speak, you know? But are we still casual? Are these acquaintances rather than intimate relationships? Well, this week when Belinda passed, I realized the depth of a connection. You know, it wasn't like we hung out together all the time every day, but yet there was like a piece of me gone. And it manifested, yes, as an emotion, but it was beyond emotion. You know, this was like, whoa, wait a minute, something's missing. It's like my right arm, so to speak. It's like this level of intimacy that goes so deep that we're just one body.
cats got their tongue.
Okay, I want to go back to the phrase that we started with today, that actually we're building the school in the fall is built upon a phrase that came out spontaneously. And we were filming a video, just a promo video for the school a year or so ago, and Bill was sitting there and said, just we were essentially asking the question, can you describe Cathedral of Praise in a single sentence? And he broke it into those six words, or those three small phrases, nine words, perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy. And it just sort of rolled out. It was just almost like there was no, I'm going to sit down and try to write the perfect phrase for who we are. It was just 30 years of being in this environment, in this family, was all condensed down into one zip file that just came out when Bill just said to the three of us standing there, he's just in front of the camera and he just looks up and says, perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy. And we just all just sort of stood there because it captured really the essence of the DNA that God is in this house. The perfection of union, it doesn't mean that we are perfect, but when we make union and unity and that oneness, that connection, that abiding, a purposeful goal, in that we discover that we ourselves are being perfected. And the process of being perfected is not always easy. I don't know if anybody's figured this one out yet, but the process of having rough edges knocked off of you is not always easy. And when you're in relationship with people that love you and you know that they love you, you welcome that process because you know they make you shine. Mm-hmm. So we're perfected in unity, revealed in love. My goodness, I mean, how many times we've talked about this, that there's more hugging than handshaking that goes on in this room. The revelation of the Father's love is expressed in you, revealed in you. When people walk in the room, they feel the love because they see the love expressed one to another. And then expressed in joy. Joy is like, anybody ever read or study the verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and where that comes from? It comes from back in Nehemiah's day when Nehemiah was watching the rebuilding of the wall, and they read the words of the law, and the people began to weep because of what they had lost. And Nehemiah says to them, this day is holy unto the Lord, therefore do not weep, rather rejoice. In other words, we think of the holiness of God, and a lot of times, and this is what I think so much differentiates the atmosphere that we purposefully generate and put out there. And that is, so many times we equate the holiness of God with this heaviness or this weighty, burdensome, somber sobriety. But Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, when he says, this day is holy unto the Lord, do not weep, rather rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Mm-hmm. He understood that the correct response to the holiness of God was to allow joy to explode within you and be expressed through you.
Yeah. Amen.
And so there's unique things that I think mark what we're doing and exploring, and there's more to explore. I love that. But it comes from the relational aspect of really what we are purposefully, and I love this, Pastor Bill has been so purposeful in, is drawing us together, and we gather together every week just to have conversation, to share a meal, to break bread, to sit down and visit and to talk, and to encourage one another in the Lord. And I've found this to be so strengthening, and I realize what God's doing is wanting to replicate that perfection and unity revealed in love and expressed in joy, not just within this house, but I believe that is a word for this entire region. That Austin is to be perfected in unity, revealed in love, expressed in joy.
Amen. You know, Darren probably want to share on that just a moment, but the God establishes a DNA in an apostolic company. And this church is an apostolic center. And not because any of us are wearing badges saying, well, look, I'm the apostle and all this stuff. But it's an apostolic center in the fact that an apostolic center equips and trains, but it also establishes foundation. Because that's what apostolic anointing does. It is the foundational ministry. Because it takes many members of the body of Christ in many apostolic centers, in many variations, in order to bring the completion. The Lord doesn't give it to any one locale or any one person or any one place, because we know what that would lead to, right? It leads to us building another Tower of Babel. But we have a unique expression here. And we wrote over the door out there, what happens here affects the world. And part of this vision is that out of Texas is going to come forth a move of God that will impact the world. And it's not radio stations. It's not getting better tracks available. It's not building Bible school. But it's creating a people that are one. They become truly a family. Because what does the church need? One of the things they need a lot of things, don't we? But one of the main things we need is an example of what it's like to be one. What it's like to walk together as a people. And Darren, I know you're going to share, but let me read this other scripture first, and then we can go from there. He's my brother-in-law, so I can push him around.
Brother-in-law.
I'm my son-in-law.
I'll take whatever connection I can get.
He's from Princeton. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Cleo's household, that there are contentions among you. So this is one of the things, foundational scripture we have, that we'd be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Scripture goes on to say in other passages that we have the same mind, we have the same heart, we speak the same word, have the same outlook, we have one Lord, we have one faith, we have one baptism, we all flow from one Father. So that this is kind of the premise of the oneness and how it comes.
And that's just talking about this from a worship perspective, that's a big part of that oneness, a big part of that unity is all of us, you may notice, like this morning, and it's been trending this way for months now. So many of the things that we're singing are, you know, very congregational, I guess, but I'm very focused on all of us getting together and just rallying around one heart cry. There's something very real that happens in the spirit when we all come together and purposefully sing the same thing. We purposefully come together and we give ourselves over to one expression that I believe that comes from the Father. He's wanting us to be unified. God has one body. He is one head. He's one spirit. Like the song that we were singing this morning. God is.
And you wrote that song too.
I wrote that song. Yeah, that was. And we did a great job on that, by the way. That was awesome. Thanks. I mean, all of us. We just whoa'd like crazy.
We might sing that again before we're through.
We should probably sing that again. But in Ephesians 4 was the basis for that song, and Ephesians 4 is all about walking in unity and recognizing again, because sometimes we forget that there is only one God, and we spend so much of our time in the body historically trying to decide who's righter about God and trying to prove our point and convince everyone else that, no, I have the right answer. And none of us have the right answer. There is only one right answer, and his name is Jesus. And when all of us can, you know, when all of us can come together and bypass all of the things that our mind brings up, all the things that our you know, ambition brings up, and we can begin to rest in the knowledge together that Jesus is the head, then we'll do like Ephesians 4 said, and we will grow up into the head. Right now, I picture the body as a whole. I'm picturing this really great, magnificent, beautiful head and a body that can't support it. You know, and there's this head. I'm a floating head. There's a head kind of floating around because there's a body that can't decide if it wants to be a body
or
not.
Head searches for body?
Head searches for body. That's like the headline for the church lately. I feel like God is doing here in us, he's doing it around the world, but I feel like we have a part to play in this, is recognizing that, you know, that Linda and I were talking about this morning about cliches. You know, we have our cliches, but there's a reason why cliches are said again and again and again. It's because there's some truth to it. You know, there's much more that unites us than there is that divides us. And it's the job, I feel like it's our commission as a house to declare that aloud and to get as many others as we can, regardless of where they've come from, to join into that cry that unifies us all together. And when we can do that, then we're living out Ephesians 4, where we're growing each other up in unity, growing each other up so that we can be a strong body that can support the head and move it around.
Darren, could you talk about what that cry is like, as opposed to, are we supposed to all agree on the same thing?
Well, Cheryl, that's an excellent question. I was talking with a friend of mine. We had coffee the other day, and he doesn't go here, but he was asking me every time we get together. He says, "So, tell me what's going on at COP." He's a worshiper. "Tell me what's going on in worship at COP." And sometimes we talk about new songs that we're writing. Sometimes we talk about stuff that's, you know, happening within the team or events that we're going to play at. And the only thing that I could tell him that really just came out to me was, "Man, you know, especially the last 6 months, 8 months, and like Eric, I hope this you'll be on this with me, but it feels more like family than it ever has. You know, it feels more like family, and it became really apparent to me and Wes and Corey, everybody on the team. It feels more like we're all there for the same purpose, even if we don't all come from the same place. You know, unity isn't agreeing together on everything. It's deciding on the one thing you can agree upon that lets you overcome your differences. That's unity. Unity isn't agreeing upon everything. It's about deciding on the one thing you can agree upon that allows you to overcome your differences.
And if you're on Twitter, go tweet that, like, now.
Yeah, we got so much this morning. We're capsulizing everything. I sent a text out to these guys this morning that it really was, wow. Even though I sent it, it wowed me. It's so simple. You know, it's bad when you have to wow yourself sometimes. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, didn't he? Wow. Okay, wow. You know, I wrote this. It's not about you, but about us. In becoming us, you become you.
Don't you wish you had one of these? We all have one of these little things.
I got one, but it's at home.
No.
Okay.
Now, this is really good. It's not about you, but about us. And in becoming us, you become you. Why? Why is it not about me?
Well, that offends, that, you know, personally, that my statement offended me a little bit. Because I've been taught all these years it was about me. Now I got to include you in the deal?
It's enlightening when you can offend yourself.
I know. Well, it's better than having someone else offend me. Yeah, at least I don't have a grudge. Cheryl's doing this. Keep on the point. Well, this is the humor break.
Okay.
This is kind of like watching the debate on TV.
This is the reality show part.
Okay. The second thing I wrote, by the way, I want Sydney to come up here just for a second.
Yeah.
Come up here, Sydney. Hi, Sydney. Sydney's new. And Sydney, I'm trusting you to keep this brief. I've got confidence in you that you're going to be right on the point. But I want you to share. She's just come over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but just share quickly why you came here. And part of the reason why she came here was because of your expression. Am I hitting this right?
My expression?
Their expression towards you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And put the mic up by your mouth. And if you feel a little tug on your elbow, then you'll know that it's time to hand me the mic.
Okay.
Welcome to COP. There's no limitations on you here, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to add to what you were just saying. I thought it was so beautiful, and I just
you were like, why is it not about me? And it's because God is about you. So we don't have to be about ourselves because God has taken care of that job for us.
Yeah. Trust in Him.
Yeah. So I've been in Austin for about 2 years and tried so many churches. And I was brought to the Lord in a church, a very small church, they loved me to life. I was going through a great trial, and that is true. They loved me to life. And this is the first place that I've found in Austin. They're in San Antonio. And this is the first place that I've found in Austin that exact same spirit is here. And its name is the Holy Spirit. and it's just beautiful. You know, I really felt the expression of what y'all are saying.
What happened? You were at a church where they were having a conference. And people started coming up to you.
Yeah, I never heard about COP before. And I was at the Bill Johnson conference that happened last month, and I just started meeting all these wonderful people that I could tell were just genuine and true and were after the heart of the Lord. And they were all like, we go to Cathedral of Praise. So I was like, I gotta go. Is that what you want me to continue? Yeah, okay. Some other things happen, but I don't know.
The other part was good too.
Oh, yeah. It's all good. It's all good from God. Good. Yeah.
A reason I wanted you to express that is because the ones that were out at this conference that she met that were hugging her and loving her,
found out they were really from COP. Were. Yeah.
And it really brought joy to my heart because it really was an evidence that whoever that was from here was really walking in.
That's right.
Love and unity, and it was really awesome.
Yeah, they were the exact same at that conference as they were here.
Yeah, they weren't just trying to proselyte people over there at that other church.
It was very genuine, and we all know God is a very genuine God.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you, honey.
Okay.
Everybody, welcome Tiffany.
Wait, I'm Sydney. He's called me Victoria. No, Veronica, Tiffany. Anything but my actual name. He was like, he was introducing you to someone last week.
I was thinking about Bethany, who I used to call Tiffany.
Okay.
So you're Sydney, who I used to
call. I'll take that as a compliment.
You're Sydney, who I used to call Veronica.
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want.
You know
really.
What that means? If I do that to someone, it means I have great affection for them.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it.
Give Sydney a hand clap.
You know what I always say at Starbucks? They're like, what is your name? You know, and I say, I don't care what you call me as long as you have my coffee. No, but we're just going to say that the reason why Papa has so many troubles with our names is because he has so many kids, right?
Yeah.
He's never had any trouble. He's never had any trouble with my name.
Let's move on. Okay, quickly. How do
just
we position?
Change the name to Bill.
How do we position to become one? What's the key for unity? Now, let me first of all say this: what we're doing should be a blast. This should be the most exciting, thrilling time that any of us go through as we position ourselves to be one. This is not a religious, heavy exercise in futility, trying to be holy, trying to be one, because oneness is not created simply because you hear a message that say, be one. And so now you go out and start zipping your mouth shut, afraid to say anything because you're afraid you're going to be offensive, or you start acting different because you want to make sure people aren't rubbed the wrong way. That's not what you've got to do to become one. And so oneness is joyful because oneness means intimacy. And intimacy is incredible. And see, the reason oneness comes be positioned, you look at the Father and the Son. The most intimate relationship that's been known in the universe was between the Father and the Son. That same relationship then is given to us freely, where we by have access through the blood of Jesus. We have access to be one with the Father, where we can say Abba, Father. And so we're positioned to be one. through the process of yielding ourselves to the Lord, right? If you want to know God more this morning, what do you do? Cite the Ten Commandments or read a book in the Bible? Yeah, you could do that, but to really know Him this morning is simply a matter of turning your heart to yield yourself to Him and accepting Him so that He, in His acceptance of you. He's already accepted you. He's already loved you. It's just now a matter of you entering into that covenant with Him through acceptance. It's a faith acceptance, isn't it? You step in to His presence. His presence is here. His presence is always here. He's not rejecting any of us. He's just waiting for us to accept Him. And so when we do that, we begin to establish an intimacy with Him, where then we begin to be empowered, impregnated, so to speak, with His nature, His heart, and all that He is begins to become ours. So the more you yield to God, the more you become God-like, right? So in order to equate that then, to bring that unity from that level of God and man, to bring it to a level to where it becomes man and man, it requires also a giving of yielding. In other words, if I want to be one with you, I must give something to you. And you must learn to receive what I give. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, they were very reluctant. Peter objected to that. Don't do this to me. I don't want any part of you washing my feet. You're God. You know, I mean, we'd all have that response with me. Why would God come wash my feet? And you're the Son of God. But Jesus said, unless you let me wash your feet, unless you let me cleanse you, unless you let me have intimacy with you in that respect, I mean, there's nothing, that's a pretty intimate, isn't it? Between two people to wash one another's feet. But he said, if you let me do this, then you have part with me. Then I have part with you. And then he said, now you've got to go do this to one another. Amen. And so we know that we can get in the art of washing feet. It could become a ritual that means nothing. But it's really more than just the process of putting a bowl of water down here. We can do that occasionally, and we do. But it's a whole principle of how we merge to become one. Because, see, unless I make an investment in you of my heart, of my life, then I can't expect any return back from you of investment. So consequently, if I don't make an investment, I keep my distance from you in the spirit. I might be around you. So you could be around someone a lot, but never really know them. But or you could be around someone very little bit of time and know them a lot. Because once you know someone in the spirit, that is a greater relationship than any relationship. So when you know someone in the spirit, you don't have to necessarily socialize with them. You don't necessarily have to vote the same ticket on the party ticket on the election. You don't have to necessarily go to the same theater they go to or eat the same kind of food or enjoy the same type of sporting events, because none of that is unity. The unity is found in the expression of giving a sacrifice of one heart to the next. And yes. So the more I invest in you and you invest in me, the more we become one.
Yeah, that's good. I would clap, but it would be really loud. Pastor has wowed himself again. And I know that's not one of our scriptures for today, but getting back, the unity of the Spirit, getting back to Ephesians 4 just for a second. Ephesians 4 says, walk in unity, walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit means that unity is the default nature of the Spirit.
Oh, that's good.
We have to work to lose it. He's saying just endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So by following the Spirit, by building one another up in love, like it says later on in the chapter, I love you, and I'm going to show you that I love you by building you up. I'm going to speak this word into your life. I'm going to help you build this. I'm going to help you move, which I could use some help with that in a week. I'm going to give to you. And as it's amazing that God works things so opposite of the way that we think it should work. You wouldn't think that you could elevate by everybody continually trying to go lower. But that's exactly what happens. As we work to serve one another, the body gets lifted up. And there's already unity in the Spirit. All we have to do is look for the Spirit. Look for the Spirit, build one another up in love, and strengthening those bonds of peace with one another, and then we find unity.
Yes.
Boom.
Boom.
Good.
Mic drop.
So...
I mean, y'all don't have to talk, but if you...
No. Here's what I want to... I want you to talk about how we position ourselves. Because what Darren's describing is... It starts with an attitude of the heart.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
The positioning. Positioning is everything. Because when you position yourself, then what you're stating is that I'm making a conscious effort of my will for transition and change. If you hold yourself back from positioning, if you're a spectator to this, you never become it. It's only when you step into it by position. It's like accepting Christ, and our initial salvation experience is an acceptance or a positioning, isn't it? We hear the call, wooing of the Holy Spirit, hearing the word of God, however it comes, and then we step. By faith, we position for that encounter. We can't save ourselves, can we? We can't transition ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. But Christ has come and done all of that for us on the cross. Just because it's there doesn't mean we receive it. We only receive it when we step into it. Amen. And so unity is the same way.
Can I give Vernon's testimony real quick? Okay, Emily's dad, Vernon, I don't guess you're here today. Anyway, okay, so he says to me the other night, I wanted to tell you my testimony. He said, the Lord appeared to me. He said, Cheryl, I was a bad boy. I was a really bad boy. But he appeared to me, and in a moment, suddenly, everything was exposed. Everything I had ever done was exposed. But in that moment, the Lord said, Vernon, I know everything you've ever done, and I know why you did it. And he said, I immediately felt conviction on that. And then the next thing the Lord says to him, Vernon, I understand you, I forgive you, and I love you. He said, but here's the key piece. He said, in that moment, I knew I would do anything it took. I would give any cost to follow that man. And as I stood up to follow him, he disappeared. And I've been following him ever since. That's a gospel, baby. Yeah. And that's that will, that yielding of the self-will. I will follow. There is something that happens in that following, that journey. There's something changes you. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm done.
This is all just really good.
Boy. A miracle from heaven. Now, so we got oneness. We're learning about the oneness, the principle of it. But most importantly, we learn about the process of it happening. Because what is the purpose of the journey? Why the journey? We're increasing the kingdom, the family. What is the kingdom of God? How's it defined? Tell me, Bill. How's the kingdom of God defined? Bill. What is the kingdom? How's it defined?
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
No.
In the Holy Ghost.
No. How would we define kingdom? How would we define...
The realm of the king's dominion.
No. Cheryl, do you know?
I'm sweating.
Family. Family.
I'd like to say family.
Of course it is.
When we say the kingdom, we're saying there's a family. Because when you say kingdom only...
You got it. Thanks. Thank you.
No, they were right in what they were saying, but I was going by Bill Hart's definition, not the Bible's. When you say kingdom, you say family. Right? So what is the family? It's the kingdom. When you see the kingdom, you see the family. Because the kingdom is simply a family functioning in oneness with the headship of Christ.
The witness to the world that the kingdom is manifest. Yeah.
So let me ask y'all this question. Then what is the ultimate reason why we seek unity and we yield to become one? What's the reason? Bill, could you tell me?
I got nothing.
Here, read number three. Number three.
We become a presentation to the world of the Father's heart.
Man, you're sharp.
I'm on it.
Well, hey, that was Jesus. He says, I came that you would know the Father.
Why did Jesus come?
So we would know.
To reveal the Father. Why do we come? To reveal the Father. We're here to reveal the Father. Jesus makes it possible for us to do that. He brings us into that relationship, fellowship, so that we can reveal the Father. See, the world wants to see Him. What's the world seen, basically? They've seen the church. And as imperfect as the church has been, that's all they've been able to see, and thank God for it. But is there a better church coming? Is there a more perfect church coming? Is there a better example to be had?
Amen.
Or have we reached the pinnacle of that already? We should stop and patent what we have. The world wants to see Him. That's the desire of humanity, is to know the Father. They might not know it, but they will know it.
Yeah.
Right? So we display Him, because what happens in unity is glory is revealed. When you get into a place where there's oneness, then glory manifests. And in the manifestation of glory, the manifestation of glory is simply revealing the goodness of God.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Yeah.
But we don't hear that a lot, do we?
No. We don't, but we're going to. Because that's our goal and our destiny, is to reveal.
Okay, I have something.
Good. We're just about through, but we want to close it out. I want each one of you to say something, then we're going to be going.
Okay. Must be lunchtime. So...
Where are we eating, by the way? Oh, I'm supposed to ask that to you.
Somebody else has that answer, and it's the right one, I think. So
I smell enchiladas.
Okay, settle down. So a while back when Papa Bill put me on staff, it was a really profound moment. My life began to change, all this good stuff. But one day I was at the Home Depot, looking good, by the way, covered in paint, no makeup, right? And I see somebody from the church I went to years and years ago. And after that, I walked away because they're like, oh, so where are you going to church now? Blah, blah, blah. What's that like? But I walked away realizing, I don't know that I was necessarily representing y'all that well. If you know what I'm saying. So then I began to realize over a period of time, like, wait a minute, everything I say, everything I do reflects on the Father and the family. And it finally dawned on me, I'm not my own any longer. I am no longer my own. Because as I submitted who I was to this role in the family, there was a greater meaning, a greater purpose to who I was. And it was a place of service. Like Darren's talking about, the lower you go, the more foundation we stack in there, the higher. And they're the ones that get seen. And they, in turn, now have a model to also go low and become foundational for the next generation. Our meaning is so much, our purpose is so much bigger than who we are. And we are not our own. We have been bought at a great price. And that price was a complete gift of no conditions, no strings attached, no withholding, no reservations. And then that one says, come and follow me. and be perfect as I am perfect. Wow. Okay, so what is perfection then? Perfection isn't what we thought it was. It isn't like, hey, I got my act together, looking good at Home Depot, say the right words. No, perfection is that yielding. Doesn't matter what the vessel is. It just matters, do you yield? Do you go for the greater? Do you become not your own so that you can become all you were meant to be? Who are you becoming?
Well, I hesitate to say anything now. So I'll just wrap up with a scripture. John 15. I think this dovetails with what you're talking about. 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. And verse 8 is where I feel like attention drawn to based on some of the things that have been said this morning. By this my Father is glorified. So our union with him and with one another is what manifests the glory of God. And I loved what Darren said about that union, your unity is the default position of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's the case, and the Spirit of God is the eternal, the most perfect manifestation of that which is truly real, that means the division is just an illusion.
Yeah. Amen. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Boom. So let it be done.
Say that again.
Based upon what Darren was saying earlier about that the Holy Spirit's default position is unity and union and oneness. Jesus expressed this here on earth so that we would know that the heart of the Father is union.
Yes.
Now that is the eternal reality that was before time began and will be for all of eternity.
Amen.
That means if that is the reality, if union and oneness is the reality that transcends all of this, everything that is temporal, that means that division is only an illusion.
Yes.
And there's never any benefit to us agreeing with an illusion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. You haven't got anything?
Well, okay. I'm just going back to Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called. I'm going to close with this scripture. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, and with all lowliness and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that's, you know, unity is when we decide that we're going to commit to one another. We're going to commit to one another. And when you've committed to something, what you're saying is, yeah, I'm eliminating other options that might sound enticing at some point. When you commit to your husband or your wife, when you commit to your children, you're saying nothing else is an option. This is my priority. Mm-hmm. And that's, I believe that's how we'll see, a movement into an expansion of what Pastor's bringing for us here today.
Yeah.
Is that commitment to one another. All of this, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. He's in you all. He's in me. He's in you. That's worth committing to.
That's right. Yeah.
And as we commit to one another, then we'll see the manifestation of that keeping the unity.
Amen.
In the bond of peace.
Yes. Well, it's been good. We had some fun this morning, and we learned a little bit. And one of the things that we're doing here today is the choir wants to come up. We're going to sing that song again that Darren wrote. One of the things we're doing here today is hopefully somewhat of an example of where we're going in our school. Because what we want to do as a team, we want to share the ministry. But we also want to empower you to do the same thing.
Amen.
and that you be one that could flow together. You see, a lot of people are frustrated at trying to get in ministry because they think, well, you know, I've got to be like a Bill Vanderbush, a great gifted teacher, and or I've got to be like a Darren Shaw, who can sing like an angel and preach, and or Cheryl Davis with all of her wisdom. And but you don't have to be like any of those people, because the reality is that as we become one, we all speak, and that every member of the body can contribute in that environment because we're all speaking the same thing. So we're not trying to bring something new that's original. We're only echoing what the Lord is speaking and what He's telling each one of us to be and to do. It's an incredible principle. But the most of all, it creates such love. The bond of love that God gives between us is so incredible that it's just crazy. And I want all of you to experience that love to its fullest extent. Wherever you're at, there's no condemnation. But just learn to open up and receive. And if you do that, and then learn to give, you'll begin to experience a love like you've never known, a love that accepts you, empowers you, enables you to be more and more of what Christ wants you to be. It's a beautiful journey, and I'm so glad to be taking it with you. You're a fun bunch of people to go with, and you're awesome. Turn to someone and say, you're awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.